This is CliffCentral.com.
Now, look, I don't know what the weather is like in your part of the world, but, you know, there are parts of the country this morning that are cold and maybe even a little bit wet. And what better antidote to deal with cold and wet than getting fired up, which is exactly what we're going to do now with our resident political commentator and our friend, Justice Malala. It's time for The Burning Platform.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on CliffCentral.com.
Always good to see you, Justice. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. So lovely to be here again.
Yes. Justice, I just want to start off by saying on Friday, you know, because ever since you've come in here, or the same with Anthea, like I care about the stocks. I care about politics right now. So Friday night in my lounge, sitting me, my girlfriend, and the cat. And you
an exciting life.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, no, look, it doesn't get much better. Friday night, you appear in the ETV studio. My girlfriend screams like Michael just saw Bieber with a new hairstyle.
Oh, you're a rock star.
Seriously, but like, I don't know what came over her, but this is the impact.
This is you know, I was thinking about it.
You forgot to mention, Ben, sorry, Justice, that there are calls for you to go for an hour now, Justice.
Oh, dear, no. Well, on the other hand, quite something, though. I mean, that thing on Friday, I was settling down. I was with my daughter. We're ordering pizza, settling down for Friday evening movie night. And what happens? The ANC releases a statement just before 7 saying, oh, we're going to have a press conference at 8. Jacob Zuma issues a press statement, oh, I'm going on TV at 7. Suddenly, my whole Friday is gone. And what do I have for it at 10 p.m.? Nothing.
Oh, dear.
No.
Oh, dear.
I've got to say, the ANC have just lost a voter in about 15 years' time or however.
Although, is it nothing, though, Justice? Because in the last week and a half or so, we have heard and seen this chorus of people who are calling for the president to step down. The numbers of people is getting bigger. The chorus is growing louder. You've got more and more struggle stalwarts calling for the president to resign. You've got church leaders calling for the president to resign. You've got businessmen calling for the president to resign. I mean, let's just go through some of these people who are saying to the president, please hear our call.
Yeah, no, I mean, before you know it, Pastor Mbora will be calling for President Zuma to step down. This will be something, I tell you. But it's quite a list. I was amazed, and I was just yesterday when Cheryl Carolus, who used to be the Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, and a very good one, in fact, when at some point she acted as the Secretary General of the ANC until she left to become the High Commissioner to the UK. And this is not someone who, you know, has been in scandals and so forth. As she said, she's a long-standing, loyal member of the ANC. And she came out yesterday. I thought she was devastating. She said, you know, this lack of ability to take responsibility for one's actions, starting with the accusations in the rape trial that, I did this, it was a mistake, and so forth and so forth. I thought she went for him quite hard. But the others, Trevor Manuel, Dennis Goldberg, Ahmed Kathrada, I mean, the list is just growing and growing and growing. And then you have the Sefako Makhatu branch of the ANC, which is in central Joburg, saying, you know what? I mean, what's going on here? The president needs to go to a disciplinary hearing of the ANC. So I think, as you rightly say, it's not nothing. I think that there is a tide, and that tide is becoming more and more pronounced. The voices are becoming louder and more significant. More and more people are going to be emboldened to say, actually, what's going on here? Why am I part of this charade, and how long will it last? So I think President Zuma is certainly under huge pressure inside and outside of the ANC. It's no longer just civil society, people writing in newspapers saying this. It's people who come from the ANC and ANC traditions who are saying, not in my name. And I think over the next few months, we're going to see more and more of those sorts of people coming out and saying, actually, you know what? This is not the horse that we thought we were buying. It's not the horse.
I managed to catch a snippet of that press conference, not a press conference, but when Cheryl Carolus was talking to the media. Mm. And the part that I found most interesting, and I think the people who were listening to her found it the same, because they reacted with murmurs and you know, humming, mm. was when she said, all of this happened on our watch.
Yeah.
Which I thought it was fantastic, because, you know, it's not just a case of her pointing the finger and saying, this guy is the problem, but mm. she's also, you know, taking some sort of responsibility to this problem as well, saying, and this is all happening on our watch.
No, absolutely. And ANC members and ANC leaders have to take this into consideration that they, you know, Mondli Makanya wrote a brilliant column about 2 weeks ago, and he said, we knew who President Zuma was. We knew what he was. We knew all the scandals. Remember that in 2005, when President Thabo Mbeki fired him in parliament, Shabir Sheikh had been convicted of bribing Jacob Zuma. Let us not forget that the briber went to jail. The man who took the bribes didn't go to jail. So Shabir Sheikh was sentenced to 15 years in jail for bribing Jacob Zuma. So right from the onset, when the ANC in 2007 voted for him to become president of the ANC, they knew that this man had accepted bribes from Shabir Sheikh. So this started, as she rightly says, on their watch. In 2006, there was the rape trial in which he was acquitted. But how many people would stand up in public and say, oh, the daughter of my friend was in the house and I had sex with her? President Zuma did. And so that is why she referenced that. All the other scandals that have come afterwards, and right now here we are, it's Gupta Gate, it's Nene Gate, it's Constitution Gate, it's all these gates that we have, and it happened while ANC members kept quiet. And so she is right to say it happened on our watch and we have to fix it. And I think a lot more people are saying it's time for ordinary ANC branches, provinces, regions to fix it. And I think increasingly you'll see those voices. Do they have a majority? I don't think so. I think that they will remain half a voice in the ANC, less than half a voice in the ANC. And that's because there are many, many other people who see themselves benefiting in the time of Jacob Zuma, and so they cannot and don't know how to move out, how to drag themselves out of the problems that the ANC faces. It is worth noting that Cheryl Carolus went and became a business person and has become a multimillionaire from that. Trevor Manuel is the chair of Old Mutual. Many of the people who are speaking out have independent means. Many other ANC members and leaders are not of independent means, and so they depend on President Zuma for the positions that they're in. If you're David Mashobo from Mpumalanga and you come from a small region and no one knew you until Jacob Zuma made you the Minister of State Security, well, who's going to hire you after this? That is a big consideration we must have in our heads when we look at our politics and say, well, what's going on here?
Well, if the ANC are not going to fix it, maybe some South African citizens are hoping that we ourselves can fix it when we head to the polls on August the 3rd for the local government elections. And then the president goes and announces yesterday that, yes, this is the date for the local government elections.
I thought it was interesting that he comes out of this big, big impeachment debate and it's, I'm going to show them that I'm working, I'm on the job, I'm at my desk. And so President Zuma says, yeah, my first thing when I go, announce that the elections are on August 3rd. I'm busy here, I'm working, leave me alone. It was quite a thing. So, yeah, I think it's great that we have a date. I think it's fantastic for everyone in politics. It gives us certainty about when this thing's going to happen. As you know, there's been court challenges, issues about what if Sia doesn't have a proper address? Can he vote in this ward, or does he need to go to Alexandra Township? And then, you know, in Alexandra Township, say they say your name's not there, and so you end up taking his vote away from him. So the third gives us focus, gives us the idea that, okay, that's what we're all working towards. What's going to happen? I think the key thing is what we've been talking about. President Zuma for the ANC dominates the headlines. Everyone talks about President Zuma and his scandals. And so if you're an ANC election strategist, you have absolutely nothing except the great history of the ANC to work with. Otherwise, people turn around and say, I mean, President Zuma, the House, all these things that keep on coming up, the Guptas. You know, yesterday it was, we heard that the Gupta family had lost, FNB had decided to shut down the bank accounts, that APSA had done it in December, that KPMG no longer wants to audit their books and so forth. Everyone is saying, well, President Zuma, they're exposed to President Zuma and he might be in their pockets. So the biggest danger for the ANC with these elections, with this announcement, is that they're working with a national product that is deeply tainted, that is deeply toxic to many people. And my view is that the ANC can kiss 62.15% goodbye. The ANC, the total take for the ANC in this election, and I'm prepared to put my head on the block, will be below 60%. And that's because of largely the actions of President Zuma, let alone what other leaders have done. But I think this is going to hurt the ANC very deeply.
But let's say that your prediction is correct, and I have no reason to doubt it because you are always right, Justice. Let's assume that the result is below 62%. What then does the ANC do between now and 2019? Do they keep things the same, you know, keep the house running same as usual? Or do you start cleaning up? Do you then start implementing new strategies and start having different conversations and start mobilizing for change of some sorts?
I think that's what's going to happen. I think people like Gwede Mantashe, Cyril Ramaphosa, maybe others, Zweli Mkhize, will start saying, guys, we need renewal. We need to clean up. That's exactly what will happen. But they will also say, well, you know, we don't need a revolution because President Zuma will go in December 2017 as party president. So what will happen is that President Zuma will sit in his office at the union buildings and he'll realize that actually no one's listening to him. They'll be machinating for Cyril to come in or for Zweli Mkhize to come in or for Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma to come in. They'll be working away, but he will no longer be the center. It will be, that's yesterday's man. He will become a lame duck. He is a bit of a lame duck already, but he will become significantly more so. He will be someone that no one listens to, and the action will be elsewhere. And then a new ANC president will be elected in December next year, and he'll be sitting there exactly as Thabo Mbeki sat there in 2008 after he lost the presidency of the ANC, and he'll be wondering, will they come for me as I went for Thabo Mbeki? And if they go for him, what does that mean if he doesn't have any guarantees that he might not be followed up on some of his alleged transgressions, like the spy tapes issue, where charges against him were dropped on 783 counts of
that's like a forest of filing right there.
I don't know any other human being who's had that many counts against them, and I could be wrong.
there have been others who've had more.
Just talking about that position there, is this not a time for one of his successors to do something quite bold or something quite groundbreaking, or would it just be too high risk to rock the boat right now?
No, I mean, I think right now it's wide open. I think now there is... Gwede Mantashe stood up on Friday and again on Saturday and said, we call on our branches, we call on our members to come forward and engage us on these issues. What he has done is said, if you want to criticize, nothing is going to happen to you. So the Sefako Makhatu branch stands up and says, President Zuma must go and face a disciplinary hearing. He's brought the organization into disrepute. He must go. And so if you're a candidate, you can say exactly the same thing and say, but Gwede Mantashe said I can say stuff. And you can say it. So I have to say, if you wanted to run, this would be a great time to do it because the space is open. Even if you're not out and out running, you can certainly be bold in what you say, and just avoid a vote in the NEC, but just say stuff in the public space that would make some people very uncomfortable. I think the fact that, think about this, Mcebisi Jonas, the Deputy Minister of Finance, calls a press conference and says, I was offered the job of my boss, the finance minister, by that family over there who are friends and in business with the president's family. And Jacob Zuma cannot fire him. Because if he fires him today, he will confirm everything, absolutely everything that Mcebisi Jonas has said. So Jacob Zuma may seem all-powerful because he's got the numbers in the ANC, but actually, whatever move he makes, he opens himself up to the kind of criticism that people like Trevor Manuel, Cheryl Carolus, Mavuso Msimang, many others are making against him. So he's powerful and weak, extremely weak at the same time. And so if one wanted to start speaking, they could. I suspect that someone like Cyril Ramaphosa is sort of just here waiting for the man to immolate himself, to just keep on damaging himself until he's ready to step in. On the other hand, Jacob Zuma is a very, very, very skillful chess player. And so he probably, and I think that's what he's doing, he's lining up someone else to succeed him. And people like Cyril Ramaphosa, who don't take the opportunity you talk about to speak, will find themselves out maneuvered, and someone else who is a proxy for Jacob Zuma in the driving seat.
Justice, the morning that the National Assembly convened to vote on whether or not the president should be impeached, we saw leaders of all the opposition parties get together for a meeting to strategize what their game plan was going to be. As temporary as that coalition was, it was nice to see. And so the question is, does this raise questions of prospects for longer standing coalitions with the opposition parties?
Yeah, it was quite something. Even afterwards, when you saw Musi Mamani speaking, Julius Malema beside him, all the others, even Kwane Mulda behind them there, and it was, it was quite a sight. I think this has given the opposition an opportunity to come together. It's not permanent. They are too different, too disparate. They believe in too many different things. However, I've said this before, and I think these elections are going to be interesting. I think many of us will be in Port Elizabeth when the ANC launches its manifesto, will be in PE to see how the election plays out because it's highly contested. But I'm interested in the city of Tshwane, actually. I think the city of Tshwane is going to be a delicious race. If you think about it, the ANC in Tshwane, in 1996, the ANC won Tshwane and it was, but they didn't like, the win wasn't as spectacular as all that. So some parts of the Northwest ended up being taken over and put into the city of Tshwane. And Tshwane has grown and grown and grown into, I think, the second biggest municipality in the world. And that's because people from the rural areas, from Mpumalanga, kept on being incorporated into Tshwane to give the ANC that muscle. In 2014, the ANC in Tshwane went from 59% in 2011 to 49%. That's a 10 percentage point decrease. The EFF in Tshwane is busy like nobody's business.
They're plowing the field.
They are working that place like nobody. Every time I go and visit my mother, it's, whoa, what's going on here? The EFF is all over that place. The ANC is hugely divided. You've seen those pictures of people marching on the ANC office and showing their buttocks and all that stuff. That all happens in Tshwane. Eh? And so my thing about Tshwane is that you could have an interesting outcome where the ANC goes below 50%. The EFF comes in, say, at between 6 and 12%. And the DA maybe scratches 38%. And suddenly you have the possibility of a DA-EFF coalition. And if you think about it, it's a slam dunk for the opposition. Those two will work together. Because if you're the DA, you say to the EFF, look, let's do what we did in Cape Town. The billing system works, the rubbish collection must work, let's make this thing work. Let's not worry about nationalization of the mines. Let's not worry about expropriation of land. Let's make this thing work. And so you go out and do it. So those two will be interesting for me in Tshwane, because I think in Tshwane there's going to be some serious movement. So I think there'll be coalitions. I don't think this is a coalition that... I think they're united around an issue. It's a one-issue coalition. I don't think they at all like each other, even many of them. But I think the DA and the EFF, Julius Malema is on record as saying, we want to work with the DA and form coalitions where we can. And I think after the election, Julius Malema will be called by Gwede Mantashe saying, comrade, look, in Tshwane, can we work together?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
And Musi Mamani will be calling him, too, and saying, Julius, we can work together very beautifully. And he has the choice to say, guys, okay, let's work together. We'll send Mbuyise Ndlozi to be the mayor, and you guys run the rest of the portfolios or something like that. But I think Julius Malema is going to be a kingmaker in Tshwane. I think Tshwane is going to be an interesting race.
Look, as long as Helen's not dancing, I have no problem with any of this. Because it all makes sense. All these points you're making make perfect sense.
Justice, we did get a request through WeChat to ask you about Vusi Mahlangu. Because a week or so ago, the story breaks. This guy's friends go to the police. They say he was supposed to meet with us for a meeting. You know, he's a student activist. They tell the police that they received these WhatsApp messages of Vusi saying he's been kidnapped, he's been beaten up, he doesn't know where he is. The police say we have to wait 48 hours. It becomes, a big talking point. And then yesterday, Vusi Mahlangu appears in court on charges of perjury and defeating the ends of justice. What is happening here?
First of all, I think he should be condemned in the extreme if he's guilty of all these charges. You can't go and put people like me, get us all het up, and it's, oh, no, what's happening? This is becoming a police state. And he sends out all these messages, and national manhunt goes for him on Twitter, people saying, find Vusi Mahlangu, what's going on, and so forth. So if he lied, and if he lied to people and made this up, he should serve time for it. It's absolutely outrageous. The point that I have made and consistently made is that I worry about the signs that we see. The fact that the offices of the Helen Suzman Foundation were raided on a Sunday and their computers and paperwork stolen, essentially to look at all their papers with regards to the case yesterday that they brought against Benning Ntlameza, the head of the Hawks. It's something that I continue to worry about. The fact that Bazuka Hadebe in the Eastern Cape in Kolobeni was killed, where he was an activist against a mining company, the Australian mining company that's trying to do mining in that area. All those cases are true. All those cases continue. And they should make all of us worry. So I worry about the creeping signs of a police state. So Vusi Mahlangu was part of that trend that I've seen. And that's why I spoke about and will continue to speak about these things. the fact that Vusi Mahlangu may have lied, the fact that Vusi Mahlangu may have perjured himself to do whatever he was trying to do, doesn't mean that we shouldn't raise our voices against the trend that is continuing around all these issues, where activists have said that they are followed, where people's phones are tapped. If we don't speak about it, if Vusi Mahlangu had indeed turned out to have been arrested or kidnapped by the police, I'd rather I spoke out and he lied than I didn't speak out and it turned out to be true. So I'll continue to speak out about that sort of thing, because I think the trend is not nice. We have an election coming up. What happens if activists for the EFF or the UDM or others are targeted in a similar way, and we don't speak about it because Vusi Mahlangu did this one thing? I think it behoves all of us to continue to, what do the young people say, to be woke.
Stay woke.
Stay woke, my brother. To stay woke, like Sia, to all these things. If you don't stay, if you are not aware of what's happening in this country and some of the things that are negative and terrible, then you will find yourself living in a place where the police do kidnap people. So I hope that Vusi Mahlangu has a convincing story. But if he doesn't have one, if he was lying and using and leading people on a wild goose chase, then he must face the consequences. There will be another activist who gets kidnapped, and we all have to raise our voices when that happens. And because perhaps then, that activist will have been kidnapped, and if we don't raise our voice, we will all be derelict, and we will have to, we'll find ourselves down the line repeating what Cheryl Carolus said yesterday. It happened on our watch. We can't let it happen on our watch.
Justice, I try to take that all in. You lost me a little bit in the middle, but I'm needless to say, much cleverer. Anything else you want to wrap up with? Because I just worry we take too much of your time here.
No, it's all good. Are we done? I think we've run through all the issues. Huh?
Yeah, well,
pretty much. We picked up with the impeachment. Yeah. But look, the idea of the coalition I find fascinating. It's something maybe we can touch on going forward, close to the 3rd of August as well. But I mean, your points are pretty spot on of how, using Pretoria as an example, maybe these two can get together. Maybe they can do something actually that's going to benefit the country.
Well,
and how cool to be a voter and have something benefit your country. We all feel like it hasn't happened in a while.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, maybe we should put it on ice, but on the 3rd, 4th, 5th of August, we'll be playing that song. Let's get together.
Well, I got a message here on WeChat from Hugo, basically wanting to know who you're going to vote for, but I don't think that's a question of relevance right now.
No.
Oh, no, it's a very relevant question. It's a good question. I've thought about this because I've been thinking a lot about my vote, and I get people ask me a lot that, oh, you know, you support Julius Malema, oh, you support Musi Mamani, oh, you support Jacob Zuma. a lot of people come to me say that, and so I think a lot about my vote. I've thought a lot about these elections and what my vote might look like. I was interested in Thabo Mbeki in 2009 when he walked out of the voting station and reporters said, Thabo Mbeki, President Mbeki, who did you vote for? This is after he'd been kicked out by the ANC, by the way.
Yeah.
So he was an ordinary citizen there. And COPE had just come through, and COPE was hoping that he would say, the COPE guys are my guys.
Yeah, that was Gareth's party. Gareth was firmly behind them.
And he walked out and said, my vote is my secret.
Yes, and indeed it is. It's all our secret, should you choose it to be.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Well, thank you for another fiery edition of the Burning Platform, Justice Malala. We'll see you again next week Thursday.
Yeah.
Yep, and Gareth will be back for that one.
Burning Platform, fired up by Nando's on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.